Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 4. Been going through some of the basic... You want a Bible? Okay. We've been going through some of the basic things in the Word that we all have learned years ago. And last week we looked at God is able. And God is able, right? A lot of times we forget and, get confronted with a situation and you can complain, you can blame somebody else or whatever, but the real confession should be God is able. God is able to deliver me from this. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It has to do with you and God. So God's ability is one of those great things, and it's one of the keys to receiving anything from God. And, that's something we learn pretty early on, the keys to receiving anything from God. And one of the keys is God is willing and God is able, right? So today we're going to look at God is willing. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 4. I told you to go there, but I didn't. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Speaking of Abraham, it says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, or believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Okay, when God promised something, what does that tell you? That's his will, right? He wants to do it. So Abraham recognized the promise of God. Well, what were the promises of God? You could go back in Genesis 12, right at the very beginning when God promises him things, and it's a pretty amazing little thing that God says to him. But he says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth you. I will give you all kinds of stuff. I'll prosper you. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed by you. He said all those things, plus more. And, then Abraham comes back to him. He says, well, I don't have an heir. I said, oh, I have as Eleazar, this servant of mine from Damascus. And he said, well, no, he's not going to be your heir. You're going to have an heir from your own loins. And he said, well, I'm 90 years old. And God said, that's okay. And so then it goes through 25 years, and then he has Isaac, right? And from Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob to the 12 patriarchs, and so on and so forth. But the key is God promised Abraham. And when he announces his intentions, he holds out that promise, and then that lets you know that God is willing. And we know that God is able, because whatever God says he's going to do, he'll do. And he can do. He has that ability. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised. He had promised. We make a big deal about what God's promised, because one of the other keys is what's available, right? Well, what he promised was Jesus Christ. Said, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Well, when did he first promise it? In Genesis, right? Genesis 3:15. As soon as Adam and Eve fell, he promised the coming Messiah. That was his promise. And he was absolutely able to bring it to pass, wasn't he? But that was his desire. He was willing. Oh, that's some nerve. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So that was God's promise. God promised to send a Messiah in Genesis. He reaffirmed it continually throughout the Old Testament. We know that because the Old Testament is all about Jesus Christ and his coming. And he brought it to pass. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Back a ways in the New Testament, right after Timothy. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith or believing of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, and that means before the ages. And he promised eternal life. You know, when, I don't know what he promised or told Adam, but if Adam hadn't sinned, he would have kept on living, right? He didn't have death in him until he sinned. But then God promised eternal life, and he brought it to pass. He made it available to us, the fullness of which we'll see at the gathering together. But his willingness is for us to have eternal life. It says in Timothy, God would have all men to be saved. That's his desire. That's his will. He's able to save everyone that believes. You know, but he has a little requirement that you believe. But once you believe, you have eternal life. He can give us that. And we have the proof of that in the gift of Holy Spirit. And we know that we have that eternal life every time we speak in tongues. God's desire is to bless his children. You know, he wants to bless us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to help us in every way possible. Let's go to Proverbs. Even us as believers, sometimes we doubt that God really wants to help us or bless us. You know, because why? Well, because we're stupid. And we forget what God tells us. And we don't keep it in our brain. And then the adversary knows our weaknesses. He knows, or even if he doesn't know, he keeps poking and poking and poking until he finds a spot where you're ticklish. And then unless we get that word in there, unless we confess that word, then, you know, we have difficulties. But we need to realize how God loves us and what he's promised us and that he's able to deliver. So in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20, it says, "They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord." A froward heart is, you know, a bad heart, not a good heart, not a one that's godly. "But such as are upright in their way are his delight." You know, if we're upright in God's way, we are what? His delight. We heard it in manifestations, how much he loves us, how much he cares. Jay, being the scrapyard king that he is, said that God said that we're not junk. What a cool thing. Let's go to Proverbs 15. We're his delight. You know, Jimmy and Krista had that little baby there, and it's their delight. You know, it's so cool to watch them, you know, how excited, you know, and if you've had a little baby, you get excited about them, and they are a delight to the parents. Well, God delights in us because we believed in Jesus Christ. Proverbs 15, verse 8. "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." You know, every time we pray to God, he delights in it. He wants us to pray to him. He likes us to pray to him. It says in Peter that his ears are always open to the prayers of the righteous. You could screw up 150,000 times in a row, not do anything right for 10 years and pray to God and his ears are open to your prayers. Because once you're born again, you're righteous. And he's always ready and able and willing to listen. What a great thing to know. Let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. You know, what does it say in Numbers? God is not a man that he should lie. Right? Well, God's not a man. So a lot of times we have a tendency to think about God in our own terms, you know? So if we do something wrong, we think, wow, he must be mad at me. Or he's going to punish me. Or he's going to take something away. But that's not God. That's us. You know, God is different. God delights in us. As soon as we do anything according to his will, it's a delight to him. Anytime we pray to him, he delights in us. You know, he doesn't sit around stewing about, oh, look what he did 6 years ago. He screwed me over that. You know, he doesn't, that's us. That's not him. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he succumbs to those kind of weaknesses. Or God's all love. God's all caring. God's just there for us. He's perfect in every way. Chapter 22, verse 18. This is David speaking about how God delivered him from Saul. He said, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. You know, David's such a cool guy because he realized that his ability was not in what he could do, but what God could do through him. You know, when he faced Goliath, it wasn't anything about how great he was. It was about how God would deliver him, you know, and that Goliath was a Philistine. So when everybody looked at him, they said, oh, Goliath, he's, you know, this mighty warrior raised up from a child to be a warrior. And David said, so what? He's a Philistine. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. He's a God rejecter, and God's not going to fail me. He's going to bring victory, not because David was so great, but because God was so great, and David was willing to listen to him. He said, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. The Lord was his stay. Because he knew that God was willing to help him. God's desire was to watch over him and to deliver him and to help him. Did David make mistakes? Oh, yeah. Just like us. He made lots of mistakes. But he knew that God was there for him and God would forgive him. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He delighted in David. David wasn't born again. David was a servant. David could have got fired. You know, he could have, because Saul got fired, right? The king before him. And God delighted in Saul until Saul did what? Screwed up and rejected God and wouldn't repent. You know, and that was the difference. When David made a mistake, what did he do? He repented. He said, I'm sorry. I know I was wrong. And he asked God's forgiveness, and God was faithful to forgive him. The Lord delighted me. You know, he delights in us. Why? Well, because we're his sons and daughters, and he delights in us. So whatever we're in, he'll deliver us because he delights in us. That's his willingness. He has that willingness to do whatever it takes to take care of us. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. You know, what a great thing. And as great as David was, and as much as God delighted in David, us more. You know, we have eternal life. And we have his Holy Spirit within us. We are sanctified. We're made whole. We're righteous in God's eyes. We're holy and without blame. He delights in us. That's his willingness. That's his desire. Let's go to Psalm 37. I went further in that than I thought to do, but that's such a great section. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, fret. What does it mean to fret? You know, yeah. Get bent out of shape. Worry. Doubt. Yeah. That's a great word. Discombobulate. Is that in a dictionary? I have to look it up. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. You know, so somebody screws you over. So are you going to worry about it? You could blame them. You could get mad at them. Or you could say, well, okay, God will take care of me. God will even the score. God will watch over me. God will deliver me. Because you know what? Complaining about that other person, not going to do anything for you. It's just going to wear you out. You know, when we dwell on negatives, it's the worst thing you can possibly do. You know, whether it's somebody hurt you or somebody cheated you or a mistake you made or anything. You know, it just grows and gets worse and festers. You know, and instead you just need to get rid of it. You know, there have been a couple of times in my life where I really had a problem with somebody and thought they really did me wrong. And it didn't help me at all. So what did I do? I just prayed to God. I said, God, help me to forgive this person. Help me to get past it. Help me to get over it. I don't want to think about it anymore. I just want to see that person in a positive light. You know, and so, you know, if I think about those people, I would pray for them. Just do my best, just because negative stuff doesn't bless your life. And it doesn't get the healthy juices going through your body. It just eats away at you. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. You know, no matter what's going on in life, we're supposed to trust God and do good. That's all. It's like, you know, it says we're to be imitators of God, and God is a God of grace. And so one of the things it tells us in Ephesians is to be gracious. You know, we're to exhibit grace toward all believers. So it doesn't matter what another believer does or is or anything else, we're supposed to be favorable towards them, right? That's what grace is. You know, it's not because they deserve it or because they were good to you. We're supposed to be good toward all. So here it says, trust the Lord in the Lord and do good. That's it. Just do good. Well, how do you do good? You do God's word. You walk in love. And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know, when you do that, God blesses you. He prospers you. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And, you know, delight is what? You know, to enjoy, to savor. Delight, be happy in. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And the word desires is the word petitions. You know, what you ask God. Now, obviously, that petition has to be what? According to God's word. But he will give you the desires, the petitions of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What is commit? Give yourself wholly to him, you know. Be committed to God. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Why shall he bring it to pass? Because he's the one that's really able, isn't he?
Yeah.
You're not going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring it to pass. You know, I talk about abundant sharing, and I abundantly share and abundantly shared. I have more stuff than I ever had a desire for or dreamed about. Not because I spent my life trying to be a millionaire, just because God blessed us. He just blessed us. You know, and that's the way God is. When he delights in you, he wants to bless you. And when you're doing his word, it delights him even more. He just wants to bless you. He shall bring it to pass. He is willing and he is able. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, and to wait patiently for him is to wait expectantly that he's going to do for you. You know, and your rest is in the Lord. What a great thing. What God promises is his will, and he's able to bring it to pass. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. The more I look at the basic, simple stuff that we learned way back, the more I understand it, the more I learn about it. It just, you know, so we have these keys on how to receive anything from God. Think about that statement. The keys on how to receive what?
Anything.
Anything being anything that God makes available, right? Okay, so first thing we have to learn is what's available. Well, what God makes available is what he promises he will give us. Okay? What a great thing. And he promises us a lot, right? He promises us that we can be healthy. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to prosper. He wants to deliver us out of any negative situation and protect us and watch over us. He wants us to have peace in our hearts. He wants us to have love in our life. It goes on and on and on. And then it says in Ephesians 3:20, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So whatever he promises, at times he can go beyond that, which I'm sure for all of us he's done at different times. So in Ephesians 1 verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He wants to give us the spirit of wisdom. You know, he wants us to be wise. And wise is what? It's the application. It's the correct application of knowledge. It's not just the application of knowledge, because you can take knowledge and use it wrongly. But it's got to be the correct application. And it's in the revelation of the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart being enlightened. You know, the word understanding is Walter Cummins translated it, heart. It's the eyes of your heart, meaning the innermost part of your mind, your being, is enlightened. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, to really grab hold of the inheritance that God has made available to us, and the hope that is really what gives us the strength to endure through life. What a great thing. And what is the exceeding greatness? Well, did I finish that? The eyes of your understanding being light, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? You know, God wants us to see the working of his mighty power in our lives. You know, and sometimes you just have to be alert. And you just have to be looking to see what it is, you know. And a lot of times, again, you know, we get lulled into a sense of, you know, we don't think about it, or we don't desire it, or we don't realize it. you know, but God is there for us to do things. And sometimes his mighty power is working in our life. And if we don't open our eyes, we don't see it, you know. But if you look backwards and you say, well, how did I get out of that situation? Or how did God deliver me from that? Or look what I got blessed with. And how did I, you know, his mighty power, his ability and his willingness brought us through. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And you know, what's true, what's good, what's honest, what's pure, what's lovely, what's of good report? The word and the things of God, right? That's what we're to think about. That's what we're to put in our brains. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He's a God of peace, and he's always with us, and he delights in us. He wants us to be peaceful, and he wants to be with us all the time. He is with us all the time. We just need to recognize it. We just need to acknowledge it. Verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What's God's desire? To supply our needs. Is he able to do that? Yes. Yeah, he is. What a great God. See, God can supply all our needs because he can and he's willing. You know, can God deliver you out of any situation? Yeah. Let's go to Romans. We'll finish up in Romans. Chapter 8. I could go to this chapter every time I teach. I'm not going to read the context, but it says in verse 37, in all these things, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And, you know, it's the context is who shall condemn us? Is God that justifieth, you know, all that stuff. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So is God's desire for us to be more than conquerors? Yeah, that's his will. Does he give us the enablements to be more than conquerors? Yes, he does. Yeah, he's there for us. He delights in us, and he's willing to deliver us out of any situation, any circumstance, because we're his kids, and he delights in us. What a great thing to know, that he delights in us. His willingness and his ability are always there for us in every situation, in every circumstance. We just need to keep remembering and keep putting it into our brains and keep confessing it. You know, sometimes we forget how important it is to confess God's word every day in every situation and to be positive, not negative, you know. Dwell on the positives, dwell on the promises of God, dwell on the willingness of God, dwell on the blessings of God, not on the negative stuff, not on the negative people, not on the negative things of the world. I mean, you look at the news every day, you get more negatives than you could probably handle in your life, you know? But we have, the Bible is thousands of pages, I don't know how long it is, thousands, millions of words, and it's the positiveness of God, how he delights in us, how he loves us, how he cares for us, how he wants to deliver us, and he gives example after example after example of what he'll do for us because he loves us. So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us, for watching over us. What a great God you are, and we're so thankful that we do know that you're willing and that you're able and that your promises come to pass as we stand upon your word. And how as we are upright and we look to you and we pray to you, you delight in us. That we believed in your Son, Jesus Christ, and we believe that he was raised from the dead. And we just thank you, God, for just continuing to bless us mightily in every way. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.